especially little hand, Johanna over there. Girl, you are singing up a storm. She knew all the lyrics, and none of the lyrics was on the screen. Do you like Christmas music? Why, yes, you do. Girl, you are singing. We need to get you on up on this worship team. I know you would. I know you would. Merry Christmas, everyone. It's so good to be with you here at our 6 p.m. worship service. And for y'all staying safe out on the roads, you maybe had to drive a little longer than you anticipated, navigate around some traffic, but whatever you had to do to get here, we are grateful that you are here. A couple of quick announcements. For one, there is no in-person worship service tomorrow. That's our Sabbath Sunday, a day we take to rest and just be together with family and friends. And so we encourage you to sit back, enjoy the day and all that the day will have and bring for you with your families. The following week is the first Sunday in 2023, January 1, and for that service, we will just be online at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. There will be no in-person worship service on January 1st. I am starting a new worship series that Sunday called 31 Days of Prayer, because there are 31 days in the month of January, and so we invite you to join in with us for that celebration. Today, we focus our attention this Christmas Eve on that scripture that was read earlier, that to us, a child is born, and for us, a son has been given. I have four children. Most of you know that already. Ages 17, 16, 14, and 12. And when each of those children was conceived, if you will, we didn't have a gender reveal that we announced to everybody. We had our own private gender reveal celebrations. And we didn't, when they were born, send out announcements to everybody. Days are different. The times are different, Megan. I mean, now when there's a gender reveal, you pop balloons and you cut open sheet cake and, you know, they send a special messenger to your door just to announce what the gender of the baby is. And when there's an announcement, after the child is born, you get cards in the mail and there's video that kind of reveals this child that is announced to the world. The announcements get bigger and bigger every year. And not only after the birth, do you get this announcement? But each month, they put a picture on social media of how big the little baby's gotten this month, and this is what it is this month, and this is what it is this month, and this is what it is this month. All the announcements getting bigger and bigger, which just makes me really want to have another child so that we could also. I want a fifth child. I'm declaring it now in 2020. I want a fifth child, Lord. Come on, Jesus. Bless my heart. It's exciting, but every birth announcement isn't met with excitement. I wish I could say that all pregnancies were met with joyful anticipation, but the truth of the matter is, some pregnancies are met with some unsettling questions. Unsettling questions about the readiness of the parents. Are they ready? Questions about the support that's available, because we know that this young family is going to need some support. Is there enough stability in the home environment? Are the finances all right? And there's even concerns about how the public is going to view this pregnancy if you happen to be young or unmarried or separated or divorced. If you're over the healthy age of childbearing, or if you got more children on one hand than you can count. It would have all kinds of unsettling questions around that pregnancy, but not only that, there would be some unexpected complications. Every pregnancy isn't easy, and every pregnancy doesn't carry the full term. It's not an easy task to get pregnant and to carry a child all the way to delivery. Some mothers are forced to stay in their beds that last trimester because of complications going on health-wise. I remember our second child, 2 weeks before he was born, he was in the right position, the proper position for delivery. And overnight, he had flipped 180 degrees. He flipped 180. Now his feet are down. And when Shala's water breaks, that means they have to deliver the baby right away. An emergency C-section that we weren't expecting and delivered by a doctor that we didn't know. It was a crazy, unexpected night. Now, there are not only just unsettling questions and unexpected complications, there are some unwelcomed pregnancies as well. The news of a child entering into the world, sadly, for some children means that they are not welcomed additions. But we're in good company, regardless of if the pregnancy was one of excitement or one of complications. Mary and Joseph, you see, they were the earthly parents of Jesus who were also met with some unsettling questions. They were also met with unexpected complications. And yes, there were even people who did not welcome Jesus' announcement, his birth into the world, as something to rejoice over and rejoice about. Jesus' birth, beloved, was joyfully received by some, but painfully rejected by others. Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, when they saw each other, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy. John the Baptist, over the excitement that his cousin, the Savior of the world, was going to be born. Zechariah had prayed and asked God to extend his life until he could see the Messiah, and certainly there in the temple, he was able to see the Christ child. God had kept his promise to Zechariah. Even Anna, the prophetess, and even the wise magi who came from the east, they were rejoicing over the announcement of Jesus' birth, but there were others who painfully rejected Jesus' announcement. You ever wonder what the name of that innkeeper was in the Bible story? What was their name? But nobody tell us. He probably said, listen, keep my name out your mouth, all right? Just keep my name. Don't put it in the story, please. Don't say my name, please. Listen, I didn't know it was the Messiah. I didn't know it was the Christ child. Had I known, he would really want his name to be in there because he would have found a much more suitable place for him to be born. But then there was King Herod. You see, the Christmas story that we love to tell is not all just cute and quaint. It was at a time when King Herod, the ruler over Israel at the time, he was visited by those magi from the east who came and said, "We are looking for the Christ child. We're looking for the child who will be king." And his response was misleading. "Yes, come back and tell me when you find him so that I could worship him also." And secretly, he gave out a decree over the entire land to kill every boy ages 2 and under. The text tells us that there was weeping and wailing that could not be comforted during that time. There were some people, beloved, who rejoiced over the news of Jesus' announcement. And then there were others who painfully rejected that announcement. And so when I wonder about Mary and Joseph putting their announcement card together, I got to wonder, who is it that they would send their announcement card to? I know for this fifth child who I'm sending it to. I'm sending it to all of my family and friends. You happy, Gam-Gam? We don't have another child. All of the covenant partners here at Sanctuary Columbus Church, y'all going to get a card that says, "Pastor Rich and Shala done had this fifth child." It's probably going to be named C, since all the other four children's named C. But maybe it'll be Richard. I don't know. Who knows? Everybody's going to get an announcement, except people that ain't for me. If you ain't for me, if you ain't been riding, if you ain't been supporting, if you haven't been helping a brother out, I don't think you're going to get the announcement, because I don't know if you're ready to share in my joy or you're going to be one of those who unwelcome towards my child. I would be real selective, in other words, about who is going to get my announcement about my joy, because I'm trying to protect my joy. I'm trying to guard my joy. I'm trying to hold on to my joy, and I don't want anybody, as Kevin said earlier, to try to take away and steal my joy. But Mary and Joseph, I think if they were to send out an announcement, they would use the same words written in Isaiah 9:6. For a child will be born to us, and to us a son will be given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When Mary and Joseph put this card together, they were letting everybody know, to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government is going to be on his shoulders. And each one of those names would announce a turning of the world upside down and inside out. Jesus' announcement would change the order of the way in which the world was operating at the time, and who would get the announcement and who doesn't get the announcement. All four of those names were used for earthly kings and emperors so that people would know that they have something worth mentioning about them. All four of those titles mentioning the emperor or the king would be used as a title of worship. They would call that king, that emperor, a mighty God, an everlasting father. It was used to celebrate the announcement of their birth, but not just their birth, but their birthday every year. They would use these titles to announce how wonderful they were. Anybody finish the short documentary series on Meghan and Markle? Meghan and Harry. A couple people who are following the royalty, the royal family. Yeah, my wife got me caught up all into that thing, you know what I'm saying? I came in on episode 2, like, what you watching? And they talked about in this documentary when the first child of Harry and Meghan was to be born, that there was going to be a special hospital because all of the royal family was born in this hospital. And when they came to show themselves in the public, they had to come through a specific door because that was the same door that all the royalty had come through. And then there would be pictures and there would be paparazzi, and there was a special outfit that would have to be picked out. And then there would be a long announcement that would be read about the birth of this royal child. It was exuberant and far from anything of the story of true royalty in Christ Jesus. There was no fanfare around his birth. There was no particular hospital where he was born into that also was the place where other royals were born. There was no special outfit for him to wear that morning when he was birthed into the world and then they could surround him and celebrate. There was no large announcement that was read in the town square. Jesus was born into humility. And in these humble ways, he is announced into the world with these four titles that are a gift to us, to actually remind us that it's not about what is on the outside, but it's actually inside, in Christ Jesus, as he is the gift that is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the gift that is the Mighty God. He is the gift that is the Everlasting Father. He is the gift that is the Prince of Peace. And notice the language on this announcement card. For us. For us. When Mary and Joseph would announce and when God the Father would announce to the world that Jesus was born, the words for us would carry so much weight. If I tell you that this fifth child to be born is for us, you would quite know exactly, without any question, that for us is Shala and me, but for Joseph and Mary, the for us was much wider. This for us was for everyone. Who was Jesus born for? He was born for us. Now, despite the small announcement, the way in which Jesus entered into the world, there was a grand announcement. You remember the Bible story, the shepherds were out taking care of their sheep, and the clouds were pulled back and the stars began to shine brightly as the angelic host came down and announced the Son of God. The Christ child was born in a town called Bethlehem. Now imagine that. Imagine calling some angels to announce the birth of your child. Imagine pulling back the stars and they began to shine all so brightly as your child is announced into the world. And who gets that angelic announcement? It's not King Herod. It's not the royal priests. It's not those who are well off and well to do. It was the shepherds who represent those who were shunned. Or who, as my pastor Howard Thurman calls, the disinherited, those who were cut off from society. The first announcement of the birth child comes to those who will be cut off because of their low estate. Because shepherds didn't smell good. They didn't keep good company. They were not the kind of folks that you would invite to the party or to the celebration. They were the kind of folks that you would keep at arm's length. And these shepherds are the first to receive the reversal of the world order, that God has come for the shunned and the separated. What good news it is for those who have been shunned. What good news it is for those who have been cut off. What good news it is for those who were called the destitute or the disinherited, that Jesus is for you. The Midrash, an old Hebrew script, describes, though, this scene as though that it's not just any shepherds. These shepherds were in Bethlehem, and their particular role and job, responsibility, was to take care of the sheep that were going to the slaughter. The sheep who would be the scapegoats, the sheep who would be the ones that would be the sacrificial atonement for the sins of Israel, the sheep who would carry the weight of the world on their shoulders. And this announcement to the shepherds was as if to say that sacrifice will no longer be sufficient. There's one who will be born to take away the sins of the world now and forever. The good news to the shunned is that they were welcomed in. But not only the shunned, there was also the seekers, those wise magi from the east who had been searching every ancient script that they could find their hands on to see when this Messiah, when this Christ child would be born into the world. And the stars lit up, and they counted the stars, and they counted the moons and the planets, and they said, "Go further," and they went in that direction as they found themselves underneath the stars. These seekers, they represent those who are spiritual but not religious. They represent those who are searching ancient texts, trying to find where truth is, where relationship is, where answers are, and they are led to Jesus Christ. These seekers are those who are deconstructing or on their journey of deconstructing and find that when they meet Jesus, they reconstruct something that is now liberating them from those chains that was holding them down. The shunned, the seeker, and the self-righteous. That third group, that's every other group, right? When you read the Gospels, the self-righteous are the religious elite. The self-righteous are the government officials, the politicians. The self-righteous are the wealthy class. These are the folks who believe that by their own merit that they can find themselves into eternal life. And neither of them, none of them, is able to find eternal life apart from Christ. This is us, the shunned, the seeker, the self-righteous. We are the rejected and forgotten, like the shepherds who have faced injustice and hardship, and yet we persist. We are the seekers who have deconstructed or in the process of our deconstruction, searching for honest and truthful solutions to problems in this world and in ourselves. We are the self-righteous who are grabbing for control through religion or politics or even financial freedom. Jesus was born for us, but more important than the question of who Jesus was born for, the question is, what was he born for? And Paul writes to Timothy these words, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." And this has now been witnessed at this appropriate or proper time. Who was Jesus born for? Or what was Jesus born for? Jesus was born for our freedom. Jesus was born to free us. Each of us, to free us from the oppression in our minds and in our souls, to free us from the places of seeking answers and truth apart from Christ Jesus, to free us from our own self-righteous ways, whether through religion or through trying to control our ways through politics or even our own finances. Jesus comes to free us and liberate us into a life of abundance in Christ Jesus. That we would be inwardly transformed in our minds and in our souls so that no harm could come against us. That no weapon formed against us would be able to prosper. And though there will be attacks on us, we could take confidence that Jesus has said, "I have overcome the world." Jesus came to save us, to rescue us, to liberate us, and to show us the way to be fully human. The question is, will we rejoice over this announcement yet again in another year at the birth of Christ? Or do we find ourselves rejecting this announcement and celebration? This is uncomfortably personal for all of us because we're hearing this message over and over again. And for some of us, we have become numb to the details. We become numb to the facts, and it's just things that we recite over and over again, but it doesn't touch our hearts anymore. Do we respond, though, like the shepherds, rejoicing, like the magi who came searching, or like the innkeeper who just has no room? In 1777, Charles Wesley, the Wesleyan theologian, one of the founders of the Methodist Church, during the season of Advent, looked out on the streets and saw orphans, children who had been abandoned. He had been raising money and he had been building homes for children for several decades, and it seemed as if there was no end to this problem. Where was Jesus? Where was Jesus for those who were shunned? And he began to write a poem. "Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. Free from fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation. Joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Let us pray. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. Come, set your captives free. We know, and then there are ways that we don't know. And it's in that humility that we come to you, the keeper of life and of answers that surpass all kinds of understanding. I pray that you meet, Lord, those who are shunned. I pray, God, that you meet those who are seeking. I pray, Lord, that you meet those who are self-righteous, and you, in your miraculous way, capture our hearts like no other. For this we will be reminded to give your name praise, glory, and honor, because indeed it belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen.